This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
We've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no...
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live: to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Oh God of revival, let hope arise. Death is overcome.
And good morning.
Good morning.
I really wanted to say good afternoon because I've got so much to do today still. But it's good morning. It's 11 o'clock right here at WCNO in Palm City, Florida. Beautiful, sunny Florida day. I'll tell you what. I think all those people that live up in the north would enjoy even the summer down here, because I hear it gets hot up there too.
And there's virtually no breezes in a lot of those big cities and around where they live.
Unless you get close to the politicians, and
that's still hot air. Yeah.
Okay, we're not gonna pick on any of those.
No,
but
we won't.
We're blessed. We're in a beautiful place.
God's given
us a great homeland here, and we thank God for it. Well, today we are going to have some great discussion, and we also have a little bit of mail from our family. So we're going to try to share just a tad bit about that as we open up this morning. I want to welcome Karen Hubbard.
Good morning.
Also known as the host of Places You Can't Find.
Yes.
Hidden Places.
Hidden Places.
Hidden Places. Tell us about your show. How's it going?
Well, it's going great, and we appreciate all of our listeners.
How about your fan club? You got to go, yay!
Fan club, yeah.
Tim Makepeace out there listening. Hey,
that's
Tim.
That's right.
Yeah, our buddy.
Never fails to give some comments and some really good feedback with some of the items that we talk about. And again, we talk, the three of us, myself and my two co-hosts, just share what the Lord has spoken to each one of us during the week, and we bring it together, and the Lord brings it together and speaks what he wants.
So tune in
Friday
morning.
11 a.m.
David, now, I still think Karen gets more fan mail than you. I'm not sure.
No question about it. I don't. Some of my people on the teams do.
Well, yes, you do have some that are starting. Ann and some others, they're starting to get some mail. And actually, this week, we were blessed to have a chaplain back with us that we've been praying for a lot.
Yes,
Mr.
Haas
Ed
Wiggins
Skiba.
Was on. Oh, Ed Skiba, right. I was thinking of Haas on
Monday.
Haas
was in, yeah.
That's right.
Fire
Ed, we've been praying for, and God is moving him out of this place of physical difficulties into a place of healing.
He's improving.
He is.
He's what? Young man in his 80s?
He's 80.
Maybe?
He'll be 82 next month.
Busy.
Yeah.
You see him around the city, don't you?
He might be in his 80s, but he's full of fire.
Yeah.
He is.
He's a little slow right now, but there's fixes on the way. God's got a healing plan for him.
Yeah, so we thank God for Ed Skiba, for his ministry as chaplain here at the police department and city of Stewart.
Amen.
And like you said, Haas Wiggins. Haas is another great guy with the fire department, another chaplain in town that was here this week. And so you have two programs a week.
Yes, a biblical response on Tuesdays from 11 to noon. And that's interesting. It's gaining some traction. We're also getting a little bit of pushback from some of our listeners that don't like to see the church involved in politics. And because we're talking about what's happening, right? It's in the news. We're giving a biblical response. How do you respond to the stuff that's scaring you when you pick up the newspaper or turn on a news site? And we've had a lot of good feedback on that. People really appreciate that. But we had a couple of people say, well, church should not be involved in politics. You ought to stop that program. I mean, literally.
Oh, you've actually had that.
One person said, I don't want to, you shouldn't be doing that. And I said, well, I respect your opinion, but God told us to do it, basically. So not to throw that in your face, but this is what we're moving out on a call from God to actually bring the word of God to bear on the issues of the day. And a lot of the issues are generated by demonic activity.
Absolutely.
And, you know, absolutely. So we have to know. A lot of people are, I'm serious, clueless. Many are churchgoers. And maybe they haven't got teaching from the pulpit. I don't know. But they're looking around. What's going on? And God just told us to help with that.
So the program's not to condemn, but it's actually to hopefully increase literacy in regards to how biblical truth is to be manifest in the marketplace. And how's that going to happen if the church is absent, if we're AWOL? And we've been AWOL way too much.
So stats show, and maybe Chris later on you can.
Hang on, we haven't introduced him yet.
Well, I'm sorry. Okay.
He's the silent guest. He's
the silent guest here. I think it's over 60% of those who claim to be Christians don't vote.
Wow.
I think it's 60 some percent. And if you don't vote, you don't bring the word of God and God's guidance.
Wait a minute. I thought there was a scripture that says, go ye into all the world.
Right.
And if how can Matthew 20 every other aspect of life, right? Family, you know, your marketplace, your work. Why is it that this one subset is off limits or inappropriate to be bringing Jesus into?
I think it's a blindness that has actually been embraced by the church in the last few decades. Because when you read the word of God, I don't care, it's Old Testament, New Testament, but I'm being a Christian, I go to Matthew 28, 16 through 20, Great Commission.
Right.
What is he saying? Go forth into all the world. Well, you can't go do that. You can't do what he says to do unless you're engaging with the culture you're in and bringing the word of God to it, and especially where the culture is deficient in the word of God and it's doing demonic activity. Because these people don't know any better.
Okay, so Dave, we already got you going as if it's your program this morning, and it's not quite.
No, it's not.
We brought in Christopher Collins, who is
the point is
that right here at WCNO, as you listen, you give, you support this ministry. Our desire is to not just talk in a religious sense like we would inside of our four walls, as if there's not a lost world out there.
Amen.
That God has called us to have an impact in. So, David, you have Monday program,
Monday
11 a.m.
is a, the front line.
Front line, and then Tuesday.
Tuesday is a biblical response.
A biblical response. And so great programs, and I thank God for those. And almost all of our 11 o'clock spots are getting filled up. Mm-hmm. We have Thursday morning. That's all that's left at this point. And so we do have... Commissioner Collins, or are you now the mayor?
Vice mayor. Yes.
Really?
Vice mayor. Christopher Collins from the great city of Stuart.
Yes.
And how can you all afford to be right on the river? I'm sorry, I'm going to get into politics. Okay. before we do that.
That's a nice spot.
just asking. I mean, it's kind of key stuff. Dave, you have something from the mailbox? What do you have?
I do. Our brother William in Fort Pierce sends us a donation on a regular basis.
He does.
And he also sends us pages. I think it's from the Daily Bread.
I think so.
And these are just, I won't read them both, but he loves to give us something to think about and pray about.
Seed.
And share the Word of God with us. We always appreciate that.
So, you know, I get these. I often read them, and they're kind of timely. They kind of come like a... just a nugget at the time that brings the word to a condition that we're addressing at points. So I just wanted to say thank you, William, for taking the time to pull those discarded daily devotionals out, sending them to us. I know you're selective in what you send because it is a blessing. And so we like to encourage our listeners, send in notes, let us know how we can pray for you, how we can rejoice with you in God as God's doing things in your life. Karen, what do you have?
And I have a note here from one of our listeners who had sent in a donation. It says, thank you for doing God's work.
Okay. Amen.
And it looks like it might be Jack. It looks like it may be, it's kind of hard to make out the name, but Jack was the first.
Okay.
name that I thought of.
So okay. Thank you very much. I believe that came with a $500 donation as
correct.
Well. So we want to thank you for that great generous gift. That was a real blessing. And I do want to lift up a huge thanks to the Ruth P. Moore family. Now, I don't know the family. All I know is that in her estate, she's now with the Lord, but in her estate, she remembered WCNO. And what a blessing it is, because that actually became a big chunk of our most recent fundraiser. And so actually it was $30,000.
Wow.
And so that actually cut 1 to 2 days of hard fundraising, probably. But the point is, if you give to God while you're living, why wouldn't you invest into souls once you go on home to heaven? Mm-hmm. And prayerfully consider making WCNO a part of your legacy gift and a part of the seed that you would plant to continue to bring forth a harvest long after you're home. And, of course, WCNO, this station was built by many Christian people, along with Ray Cassis, the engineer, the founding engineer that was here. And he's been with the Lord a number of years now.
Yeah.
And we are here. We have mostly new equipment today because we've been rebuilding. It was just falling apart. But all of that started with some of you who had vision 30, 35 years ago. You were believing God for that. So that's awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. I want to jump right in. We consider it an honor to have Vice Mayor Christopher Collins with us today from the city of Stuart. And you've joined us several times before. You're always welcomed here because
I like being here.
You have a great heart for God.
Thank you.
And so what's happening? What's happening here on the Treasure Coast?
Right now it's relatively quiet.
Okay.
In terms of what we're discussing. But we've had a few key markers that have been coming up. My recent contention is around Brightline.
Brightline train we're talking about.
Yes. My primary issue that I feel a lot of residents echo, and I've heard from many people, is the frustration that the county has taxpayers funding 100% of the cost of the station. From a conservative standpoint, we're supposed to be a Republican county.
Yes.
Yes, not just Rhino. But there is frustration that the county scrapped that previous deal where Brightline was paying half. And then is now having taxpayers 100%.
Wait.
Most people don't know this.
You're telling me there was a plan in place where Brightline...
There was a settlement agreement where Brightline was to pay half and the county was to pay half of the station. The city had some issues with our relationship with that deal. So the city removed itself. And then the county updated that deal, presumably at Brightline's request, to remove Brightline's obligation to pay anything. So now you have local taxpayers in the form of county taxpayers, which the city residents are a part of, paying $15 million. And then there are grant applications for taxpayers at large funding the rest of a $60 million project.
So is this in process?
That is a private business.
Private business being?
Funded wholly by taxpayers, their infrastructure.
Wow.
Yeah.
So who profits?
On county property, it's an interesting thing. So
how does that happen? Does that happen because we're not speaking?
The five butts that are in seats that may not necessarily be fiscally conservative, though they say they're Republican.
Wow.
So that's one thing. Secondarily, this is all deep in the
woods. Wait a minute. What can we do about it? No, what can we do about it?
They scrapped that previous deal. So now they're under a new contract, effectively. It's signed by both parties. The county's reaching for grants from the federal government, from DOT, USDOT, which...
So it's a done deal?
It's a done deal.
And it stinks.
But this is my frustration, is that is the first part of it. I guess we should talk about Brightline for a second since I brought it up. Secondarily, the parking, right? So that affects me and my district being in the city. It's set to be at the courthouse. You think of downtown where the courthouse is located, you go pay your tickets.
Right.
The parking lot that's behind that, sort of next to Sailfish Ball Fields and Ernst & Produce and the lumber yard,
right,
all back in there.
Mm.
That parking lot for the county courthouse is where the station's going to go. So where are all those people going to park? Because part of that new arrangement with Brightline, the county isn't going to build a parking garage.
Mm.
So it's what I've been bringing up more recently is, well, where are all those people going to park? You're going to push all of those that county staff onto On Street, and all that On Street's accounted for with shared parking arrangements with different
businesses. It's already full.
Right. So so we have some issues there, and you know, so, some of the more real estate types and you know, big business types are saying, stop, don't look over there, just let's get this approved and done.
We'll deal with it later, right?
But at the end of the day, to me, it feels like residents lose in the form of their tax dollars and traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have people doing circles, like if your local residents have to eat all of that, it's not right. You know, so somebody should be advocating for that, which is what I'm trying to do.
It sounds like, you know, what we need to do is add about a million more cars to Confusion Corner. I have personally seen more than one vehicle that drove right off the tracks there. I mean,
there was just another one. I just got this morning in Pompano Beach. You know, somebody else got their car flipped over upside down. Yeah,
because there's confusion
in
and
Europe,
there is danger.
You have this kind of often they reference Europe. You know, and they say, oh, there's passenger rail in Europe. It's why can't it happen in the United States? You have grade crossings in a lot of these. You know.
Mm-hmm.
You have tunnels and bridges and things.
Right,
These trains are going 100 miles an hour through quaint little downtown areas. It's not good. People are going to die.
So it's a done deal. So where is the train station going to be?
So that's the location Brightline wanted. So if it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Is that like where East Coast Lumber is in that area?
It is the parking lot for the courthouse. That's where it's set to be.
That's the back parking lot.
Mm-hmm. There's that like little triangle parcel, and then you have
parking for the courthouse.
Oh, okay.
So it's right next to Martin Luther King.
Yeah, if you drove along Ernst & Produce in the back there, there's that parking lot.
So that's where the station would be.
The station's like half over the tracks.
Okay, gotcha.
All of the parking that will be required for Brightline, which is over 100 spots, it's like $150, I think, from that RFP, is going to be required. That's taking all the parking for the courthouse. I don't know. And when we had, not to go so deep into Brightline, but they threatened to sue the city for not wanting to be involved with this kind of a thing anymore because it was getting messy. We didn't like the taxpayers were having to pay for all of it.
Mm.
And that the city would be on the hook for like $30 million of it. It just didn't seem bad math.
Right.
I hate to go so deep with Brightline, but... I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. But
I could rant on this, but they threatened to sue us, and parking was the main issue that came
up. So the city's not under a lawsuit.
So I think the county knows they can't park it, but I don't want to be too negative on the county. I think they know they can't park it. And
well, you know, I mentioned, Chris, earlier, we literally live, I hate to say on the railroad, but you can't get much closer than we are. I mean, we're like right there on the railroad next to it. And Brightline is not an issue at all as far as the sound, as far as the travel for us.
Right. It's not a freight train.
Yeah. Right. Right. So it's amazing to me that we don't have collisions because there are so many trains riding on those tracks. But, you know, it's fairly quiet. It's quick. It comes through. So it's not a big deal. And I kind of like the idea of being able to travel to other hubs, maybe airports and other places. I kind of like that. Anyhow, it's scheduled. There's a location that's in place. The city's not under lawsuit at this point.
No.
Okay, so that's over. Okay, so what's happening in regards to the state of Florida? And I know I hear a lot of things coming from the governor, some things I really like, some things I don't even understand. How does that impact the city?
So more recently, that's an update as well, is the city had gone through, the city of Stewart, you have a new commission that's more slow growth minded. You know, you have three seats now that are more in line with what I'm about. Small town, single family home, you know, families, less of the apartments, you know, less of the Winter Park type mixed use, four story apartment thing. So we spent a 6 month window in a zoning in progress, you call it, to stop applications from coming in so we could redo our code. We spent 6 months doing that.
We
removed all of the density bonuses, and you didn't have to have any parking requirements almost, you know, for these projects. That's why when people are frustrated with traffic, it's self-induced. Your municipalities do shared parking arrangements and waive parking. And well, we went back and we required all that. We decreased the density that you could get, so you didn't end up with these four-story things. A lot of this happened in 2020. you had a push for under the affordable housing.
Right.
It wasn't affordable. It was just more density, more people coming from everywhere and living in these apartments kind of a thing. So we changed all of that. And then the state in this last legislative cycle in the last month or two, with deep down buried in, it's called an emergencies bill relative to hurricane damage and being able to build and not having anything in the way of that, subverted all of those changes we made so we can't implement them.
Really?
Dated, retroactively dated back to when we started our zoning in progress. So if you don't think the state is looking at Martin County, is looking at even the little city of Stewart,
yeah,
it very much is.
Okay.
And there is a large lobby for development. And I won't mention the builders, but many people know the different builders. They spend a lot of money and time massaging your state reps, and it was unanimously voted for. So that's been my frustration more recently, is subversion of the will of the people. You know, people overwhelmingly ousted the people who were in those chairs and put in, you know, different philosophy and keeping this place more small town. And even with all that work, the state overrode that. You know.
So how many other smaller cities are in the same place you're in? That is there a coalition of like-minded people?
So post-COVID, you had a lot of people moving here. So there's been a lot of pressure to build. And without getting too deep in the weeds, you know, you hear that line, you'll own nothing and be happy, right? There was a large push with larger banks, even bigger than state and federal, for funding apartment buildings and rentals.
Right.
And it was almost impossible to get a mortgage at a good rate, but you could get helped very handsomely if you were going to build one of these types of projects.
Right.
You know, and then municipalities were going out of the way to rezone what was industrial or commercial land because, you know, nobody needs to work to build these kinds of apartments.
Hmm.
And
but at the same time, Chris, we have last I heard, we had two school teachers in Martin County. They're obviously employed, but they cannot afford to go rent an apartment in this town. Just because
any town. I mean, pick a place.
Yeah, I mean, so they're living in the cars, and I know from some of our friends in St. Lucie County, Jerome Ryan talking about his project, you know, workforce housing, people that are working 1 to 2 jobs that cannot afford to go out and pay the rent.
Couple of problems. One is if you bring a unit online, if you bring it into existence in a place like Martin County, you can't control who lives there. It's against the law. So once a unit comes into existence, anybody can live there. So somebody from New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, that is now...
So that's pushing the market.
Mm-hmm. Secondarily, you can't do rent control. It's illegal. So when you bring that unit into existence with all of that competition, it's going to be market rate. And it's going to be $2,000 or $2,500 or $3,000 a month.
Wow.
So this idea of if you build more units, you'll have more affordable housing is a myth. And it's propaganda used by developers to be able to have more units. So if you look across, the city of Stewart developed 3,000 units, mostly apartments. Look at what they cost. They did it all for workforce and affordable housing, and none of it is. The same thing happened up north. Laura Giobbe, who's one of the other commissioners, we talked about this and before she got elected because of sunshine, but some of those apartments up there are $8,000 a month.
Rent
that were supposed to be for affordable housing, because you can't force it to be affordable housing unless you do Section 8 or something like this.
So what can the church do?
Get more involved politically.
But and how can we help our people? I mean, we have people that are between insurance and taxes. They've owned their home. Their home's paid for, but they cannot afford insurance.
Right.
If we had a storm that took out their homes, a lot of people I know, they've dropped their insurance because they literally cannot afford insurance and taxes. They can't pay both. They have to choose what they're going to pay. And so if they...
These are larger lobbies that, again, are involved in state politics and also even larger than state. But when you're talking about insurance, power, like FPL, these are oh man, I don't want to get killed. These are corporations and entities that get people elected. The average state seat is $250,000 to $2 million you have to raise for a job that pays $20,000. That's how you know something's not right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, and that goes up the chain. So who are the big players in Florida politics? It's going to be power. It's going to be insurance. It's going to be development. It's going to be sugar. So whoever sits in the big seat, and then the people around them that make decisions are going to be beholden to some cocktail to more or less extent, you know, to those. And so when you're frustrated with the insurance and the power, well, that's probably who got some of or most of those people
piece
elected.
Of that.
Right.
All right. Going into budget season.
Which, to my point, is why we need more Christians involved in politics.
Before we're finished, we want to hit on that again because
and
that is
if you don't think
really
you can do
important.
It and you don't know how to raise money and all the different things, David picked up stones, okay? If you just step up, he'll let him figure that out.
Yeah.
But we need you to be involved because when you don't, when you're absent, you're going to have
what we have.
Corruption.
Yeah, what we have.
Inevitably, of course.
All right, so... budget season, what does that mean? Government spending, you know, what?
So you are moving into the period of budget, right? So this is a time to be paying attention to your city, municipality, county meetings as they're starting to discuss how they're going to be spending money. So, you know, police and fire contracts, capital improvement projects. This is the time from now to September, October, where that's being discussed. If your taxes are going to be raised, you know, if you're frustrated about millage and your taxes going up like they have in the county more recently, now is the time to pay attention. And if you never speak up, now's the time.
So need to put some, invest some time and find
Correct.
Out what's going on.
Correct.
How do we, as far as a city and you can specifically maybe speak to that, are wages such for our fire department, police, and such forth, and professionals to where we have qualified, capable people that are in office? I mean, just seeing some things that have happened, you know, on the West Coast and, you know, with the fires and water supply and, you know, like, do we have competent people? Do we have salaries and provision on such a level to where we have qualified people here in the city and here on the coast that are able to take care of things?
I would say yes.
Okay. Because I know teachers, a lot of times I hear them say, well, I'm going to have to go to Palm Beach County to make a living.
There's always going to be bills. That. It comes up every budget cycle.
Okay.
Is Palm Beach. Palm Beach is lifted up as,
okay.
you know, the example
the model.
Of where we lose all of our people. And
okay.
So, but this isn't Palm Beach. Right? You don't have the same.
And I don't want to live in Palm Beach.
Right. Right? We do trade.
So, we do, sure.
So you can't just leverage Palm Beach
sure.
to try to have the same wages as Palm Beach. There's going to be that competition. You know, this isn't Palm Beach, right? You don't have the same benefits.
Well, the cost of living's not the same.
Right.
Yeah, so that's different. But, you know, it seems that we have some competent leadership here.
I would
and
say so.
We thank God that that you're a part of that. So you've already addressed it a little bit, and we're kind of running out of time, but how important is it that that the church, the godly people, kingdom people, Christian people that care about the quality of education, care about the safety of their neighborhoods, care about their taxes, how important is it that we actually get involved in more than just going to church once a week or twice?
So I would say if you have in you a healthy frustration with what's happening politically, right? There's only so much you can do federally. There's almost, you know, you should be praying up the chain, but you can be very involved and have a lot of impact locally. That's where there's the most opportunity for you to make real change. And maybe some people, like I know Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe you're supposed to be involved politically at all.
Sure, yeah.
It's Jehovah's Kingdom, you know, but for the most part, I don't see any sort of biblical mandate not to be involved. In fact, I personally feel like it's the opposite.
Sure.
And I mentioned this when I walked in the door, just to go, you know, way out to left field, is, and different churches have different interpretations on the millennium. But
right.
if you do believe that you're at the end of the sixth day and you're about to have the seventh day of rest and it's a 1,000-year period and the millennial reign is real and it's coming, well, you're going to live and reign for 1,000 years. You're going to be involved in that administrative process.
It's
with
part
Christ
of the plan.
As king.
Yeah,
so,
part of the plan.
There very well may be a period here where you could grow and learn through that, just to be completely transparent. You know, like this is not a kingdom that is, it's a kingdom of this world and has particular, you know, spirits and principalities in charge of it, but soon coming will be the kingdom of Jesus.
You know? So if we're going to rule and reign, it wouldn't hurt to get some training and an experience.
Even though this world is what it is, God carves out space for you to operate.
He does provide
opportunity for his children to be involved.
I do believe we're training for reigning. I do believe that. I believe everything we do.
Old Testament, it's all political, right? Like 1 Kings, 2 Kings, Chronicles. Like there's very much God involved in people individually, in the political systems.
Administration, management. Absolutely.
And the world will be better, and generally people will have a better quality of life because there are quality human beings making decisions. And it's a sacrifice, but if that's in you, if you feel that frustration, relieve that anxiety and tension by getting involved. There's
do
a reason
something.
It's there.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say something.
I was frustrated, and now I can be involved, and I can deploy, and I can ask God for wisdom on whatever we're involved with,
Amen.
Whatever decision's being made. And
awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, we thank God for you and for those who are coming. And I just would love for you to close this half of our program with just a prayer over our region.
Absolutely.
That God will raise up many other righteous and godly people that are already gifted, already have training. Many mm-hmm. of you are retired. You're just wondering, am I going to spend the rest of my days on a golf course, or am I actually going to make a difference in somebody's life?
Finish
and
strong.
This is a great way.
Finish strong.
Amen.
And I would say that's a great segue to say, if you have no desire to actually be in a seat, you know, pray. Pray for who is in charge. Pray for who is making decisions. Please. Please. Amen. I feel the prayers from people when we're in those crucibles of everybody's, you know, upset and it's tumultuous. So be actively praying. Have the name of every one of your county commissioners, city commissioners, state reps, governor, you know, all the way up the chain. People by name. Be praying for them to make good decisions.
It's good.
And even if you don't think they're Christian enough, pray for that God to be with Amen. Them in making those decisions.
Amen. Amen.
Father, I thank you so much for your church.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank you for waking us all up and bringing us into your kingdom. Father, I pray that your kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven, and that your will is done. And I pray that you inspire and awaken and galvanize your church and the people who are in it to want to be involved, from their HOAs to local municipal governments and all the way up, Father, that people take advantage of the relationships that they've developed, of the businesses that they've run, of the experience that they have in managing, and they deploy that into your kingdom in the form of the political sphere here while we're on this earth, Father.
Yes, Jesus.
I pray for your wisdom to be on anybody who is in a seat to make decisions for the greater populace of the residents of this, you know, city, county, and state. I pray that you give them wisdom, that you protect them and their families from anything that might try to harm them, and that you just, your spirit rest on anybody who is in one of those positions, Father, that you, your grace comes through their lips, that people are drawn to you through the people who are leaders in their municipality and state, and that your will is done locally and in the state and in this country. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. You know, I'm almost motivated after talking with you to run for office.
Let's go.
I'm not sure what I would run for. Maybe dog catcher.
Just as a postscript, and he's been quoted before, but Edmund Burke, who's this 18th century Christian man, and he said a lot of things, but the thing that's most quoted for today is this: the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
Amen.
All tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for people of good conscience to remain silent. Nobody made a greater mistake than he who did nothing because he could do only a little.
Yeah.
And the truth is, most of the egregious things that happen to good people or whatever people comes from government.
Yes.
The decisions made by government without the input of godly counsel. And so there why there's no other reason why the church needs to be involved.
Chris, I'd like to have you come back, and I'd like to specifically target some of the discussion about property taxes and no taxes and how this what in the world is the state of Florida thinking about, and what would that mean? I mean, what would that look like? How could that work? Maybe, you know, there's some other things coming up here. So we'll be in touch. Mm-hmm. Look to bring you back in just to try to hit on some of these things, because it just twists my mind when I think about how that could impact so many different levels of government and what that would look like. And yet at the same time, I have a great concern that there are many people that end up losing property simply because they no longer have the money to stay up with the economy. They just have no way of covering their cost. And so
the quick cliff notes would be, if you do away with property tax, right, that's going to benefit a lot of large property owners who may or may not even live here, but they pay property taxes to support the local municipal infrastructure.
Yeah.
You have them talking about creative ways to generate revenue, like bed tax from hotels, but it seems like, as far as I can tell, you're increasing sales tax, which is going to punish, you know, somebody going to buy milk. You know, your local people are who are going to end up funding that. And I could be totally wrong, but, you know, having large scale property owners that are not in Florida paying for your local infrastructure is nice. And so he may have that in his ear from some of those people.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, for me, my property taxes going up, and between taxes. And I tell my son, at this point, either you change careers or you're never going to be able to afford the house that I would leave you.
And that is
paid for.
And that is
that's a problem.
That is a similar but separate conversation, in that your government spend too much money.
Yeah. So we have some more things to talk about. Chris, thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
Vice Mayor Chris Collins from the city of Stewart, thank you so much for being with us
my
today.
Pleasure.
All right, we're going to go to a break, a few minutes with a song, going to be right back. And we have a great testimony and some great, great ongoing conversation. It's going to happen in just a few moments. If I can find the button. Keep your dial set right here.
Come holy ground where your children watch and pray. Oh, remind us today, your people, of your presence. Let them be one.
Come Holy Spirit, how we need your fire again.
All right, we're going to drop this song and we're going to jump into conversation because I have John Nelson, John Nelson in the studio. John, how are you?
You know, I just can't. I always look forward to coming here. I do have a bone to pick, though.
You do?
You know, this Keith Masters guy keeps showing up on a weekly basis.
Yeah,
he does. What's up with that? Well. I've seen him on the corner.
Yeah.
Down south handing out tracks.
And then he shows up.
Dressed up like he does here.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know, I call him on the phone because I was doing something down there for a realtor. And I was just tickled to see that he's doing what he says he's doing.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
On the corner.
Yeah.
Trying to get run over. It's busy down there.
This is Palm Beach? Where? Down in Palm Beach. So what, he had a sign and...
Oh, yeah. Talking and he was having a good old time. That's how he stays fit. It looks like he's doing his aerobics out there.
So he's out really, talking to the traffic and such forth.
Well, I mean, people are stopped and he talks to them.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Got his signs out.
That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. All right, John, God has you on your own loop and you're not out on the street today. You're in studio. So,
I'm in studio.
You know,
I'm always on the street at heart, though.
Yeah, I know you are. Know you are. And you're ministering. You had a lot of street experience, didn't you?
Yeah, a lot, many years.
Yeah.
Dumpster diving, 38 arrests. You know, I was a guy that came into Sobriety Recovery Church 1988.
Wow.
And I just thought, like many people, even in the church, I'm going to rewrite the rules. You know, like the big book or the Bible. Okay, that applies to you, but that don't apply to me.
Right.
Mm. So, you know, I became an inmate a lot. I became homeless a lot. And it's crazy because I would have great, great years of good stuff. I mean, in the last 27 years, I may have used a substance for maybe 2 months out of that.
Out of that whole time period?
Yeah. But because I knew where the answer was.
Right.
But I would go back like the Israel.
Yeah.
Okay, I got to send you out the wilderness again. Here we go again. You know, yesterday I was in the Dunklin dorm with Sean, and I was in there when Lester was there. It'll be 16 years that I left the Martin County B4 dorm.
16.
It'll be 16 December 23rd.
Wow.
So I have the Bible still that the pastor that used to go in there gave me. And I went in there yesterday. Sean lets me come in, I don't know, every 6 or 7 weeks. Whenever there's they have a roundup, and it's beautiful. They have a complete lineup of people that on a daily basis bring stuff in there.
Wow.
During the day and at night, right? Mm-hmm. So they keep them pretty busy. So, you know, on occasion I'm able to come in and, like, people are like, why do you still come back in here? Well, first off, that dorm is sacred. You can feel God in that dorm.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been there.
Yeah. And, you know, now they just shared that there's another county in Virginia that just modeled their drug program after the Martin County drug dorm.
Okay.
You know, it works. It works. If I work it.
Yeah.
You know, it comes down to I get out, am I going to fly by? Am I going to fly by the rules? You know, and I fly the rules.
So what did you tell the guys?
You know, God put it on my heart in Proverbs, I believe it's 1:24, it talks about God leaving us to our own devices.
Mm.
And I read that, and I don't know, God kind of put it on my heart. My niece sent me a picture when I was in jail there years ago. She was just graduating high school or whatever it was. And it was in that page of the Bible. So I opened that up and I read it, and I explained that to the guys. I go, this is where we're at. Because a lot of people tend to point the finger, why did you let this happen? God.
Yeah.
If you're such a good
God's
dog.
God's fault, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then that 10 lines of scripture talks about why he had to leave us to our own devices. And it's not the only, I'm not a Bible scholar by no means. I'm sure if you went through a concordance and went back and forth, there's a lot of different areas in the Bible, the 66 books, that talk about the Spirit of God leaving you.
Yeah.
Because you're no longer a part of that.
Yeah.
And I went on to share, and this is something someone shared with me years ago, God doesn't take part in confusion.
Yeah, not the author.
He's not in the porn industry.
Yeah,
right.
He is not in the bars.
Right.
He's not.
So that's not his business
and
at all.
And it really, the 27 guys plus staff, so it's amazing when you hit someone's heart how quiet a place will get.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're preaching, when you're on one of those real bring it home, the place
moments.
Goes a little quiet.
Yeah.
And that's how we kind of do it when I go into the jail. I want them to know that it wasn't their mom's fault.
Yeah.
God had nothing to do with you getting caught in your bank robbery.
Mm-hmm.
God had nothing to do with your 17 overdoses or your 27 arrests. He has nothing. It's clear in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's clear. And that goes for me, too. I mean, a lot of guys see me coming all cleaned up, and I don't wear all the jewelry and stuff. I open it up with 38 arrests, prison, homelessness, four marriages, one wife that's widowed because of drug and alcohol. You know, I try to bring it down, and that way they can see me eye to eye.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So familiesrecover.org.
What a blessing.
How did familiesrecover.org? There's
we
people listening, they've never
year,
heard you.
12 years ago, Families Against Drunk Driving.
Okay.
I had gotten out of jail, maybe 13 years now. Time flies.
It does fly.
I mean, it's
it
your
does,
50th
yeah.
birthday.
Yeah,
does, thanks. Does everyone on the airwaves know that it's your 50th birthday?
Well,
happy birthday, Jonathan.
Okay, we're going to put you on hold, and Ma and Paul just stepped in the studio.
Stand by.
You did it. It's your fault, John. It's your fault, because I'm like, if God opens the door is open. It's time right now. So I don't have much to say right now, as it seems Ma and Paul just want to explore a certain point. And I'm being kept totally in the dark about it.
Hey, Ma, did you hear about old Jonathan at WCNO?
Jonathan? What happened to him? He ain't sick, is he? Oh, that would be just terrible. I mean, he's got so much to do for the Lord.
No, he ain't sick.
You mean it's worse than that? Oh, no. He ain't dead, is he? Oh, Pa, that just rips my heart right out.
Now, wait just a minute. He ain't sick, and he ain't dead. For goodness sake, Ma, get it together.
Well, I guess you got me all riled up because the way you said it. Did you hear about old Jonathan? Well, that suggests you got something of extreme importance to talk about. There ain't no mundane content being offered there. So what comes to mind but sickness or death?
Well, I guess I understand. And to reiterate, he ain't sick and he ain't dead. But it does have something to do with his life.
Oh, no. You mean there's something on his life that's pressing down on him, like some kind of spiritual thing? He ain't under some kind of spiritual oppression, is he? Oh, Lord, our poor old Jonathan's being stomped on by the devil.
Hey, Ma, listen, just hold your horses. And tell me, where is all this coming from?
Well, you know, we just love old Jonathan so much that when his name comes up, and especially in the manner in which you just brought him up today, I just think the worst.
You can rest easy, Ma. There's nothing bad or evil about my news. But before I share it with you, I need to make sure you're emotionally stable.
What? What? I'm always emotionally stable, Pa. Always. Do you understand? Always.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. Anyway, it's just that...
He ain't leaving WCNO, is he? He can't do that. The whole operation would just collapse. Please tell me that's not what your news is.
Ma, here it is. Buckle your seatbelt. Old Jonathan just had a birthday.
Oh, boy.
What? What? I mean, that's it?
Yeah, that's it. I just wanted you to know he had a birthday. And maybe we could call him and sing the birthday song to him. Something like that. Maybe even invite him to go to lunch, you know, something special.
Well, Pa, I got to tell you, you need to sharpen up your communication skills. You nearly gave me a death blow the way you started telling me about old Jonathan.
You know, Ma, I'm usually the one that gets all tangled up in my emotions, and you're the one that helps me get untangled. But today the tables have been turned. Kind of amazing, really.
Well, I suppose you're right about that. I guess I need to wait until you say more about your news in the future. You know, give you a chance to get all your words out.
Well, that would be, as a good friend of mine likes to say, an occurrence of hope over experience.
Pa, is that some kind of negative comment about me?
Look, let's just give old Jonathan a hearty birthday wish. You ready? Okay, let's do it.
Happy birthday, Jonathan,
and many more.
Wow. All right, Ma and Paul.
I didn't even know that they wrote that.
John, see, you set all that up. You did a setup. So time flies. It is flying by. And so you were able to get into the prison. You talked to them about where you were.
One of the things I try to lead into is, what is your plans when you leave?
That's important, isn't it?
Very much so. And I go into huge, huge, huge paragraphs about if you're going back to where you came from, you're coming back here.
Yeah. And a lot of them
you have to get away from your old connections.
Yeah.
You have to get away from the negativity. Find the Lord. And they don't want to hear that. You mean I can't go back to my corner? No.
Mm. Yeah.
No.
Right. Right.
We had a rescue yesterday. Young lady called me up, and I've known her. I know she was getting high. She was down to about 90 pounds.
Wow.
Still got a job. Still on how she's paying her bills, I have no idea.
Wow.
So I pick her up. She starts crying. I've been using fentanyl for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
I go, I knew. She goes, well, why didn't you say anything? I said, because if I would have bra beat you, we're supposed to be loving people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, Michelle was here. She's a part of New Horizons. I can say it. She can't. She has paved the way for us to be able to get these people with no insurance.
Wow.
Because when they want to go, you got to grab them and go.
Yeah, quick.
Right.
Because it'll change our mind.
Yeah.
You know, it's like those New Year's Eve resolutions that last about a month.
Yeah, they mean nothing.
So we went and grabbed her up real quick and took her car up there, and she went in.
Mm.
And what a blessing. You know, everything we do, we've committed in memory of Jennifer, my wife that died.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why we've gone a lot towards fosters. That's why the cars with the girls. You've met them in the studio.
Yeah, we have.
Carol, she emailed you guys last month. I had Emma. We had helped her. And we need to raise money.
Yeah.
I mean, we are really scraping. I really need to do some fundraising.
Tell people how to reach you, how to get a hold of you.
Well, they can do familiesrecover.org. We have a donate page. They can call
Familiesrecover.org. Familiesrecover.org.
Yeah, we're 501c3. It'll be our 13th year. We're debt-free.
Excellent.
You know, and like anyone else, and I was just talking to Kellyanne yesterday, she had backed away from recovery for a while. Mm-hmm. Not the church, but just recovering. See, us in ministry forget that we have to really reload our own candles. It talks about the oil.
It's true.
It talks about the oil in Scripture, right?
Yeah.
And she comes to the meeting yesterday, and there's a friend that's coming. She ain't seen 2 years, and she opened her mouth and said these words, I have not recharged.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have forgot. And Kelly has given away so much of her own personal assets. She looked at me, and she goes, the next time you get a car. And I go, you know what, Kelly? You know what people in the giving world forget? That we have to take care of us sometimes. And that's why you guys do a fundraiser, right?
Right, exactly.
She goes, what kind of car? I'm going to tell you, Miss Carol's a genuine, what a God's gift she is. I walked up to her house. I Ubered over.
Are we talking about the car that was donated?
I wanted to keep that car. That's how nice it was.
Really?
I could not. But I drove that car to my house, and I was like, you're kidding me right now.
So this was the email I received here at the radio station.
She listens
Someone
all
said,
the time.
I have a car.
Didn't want us to tell
I want
her
to donate it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
Just put like $1,800 into this car.
Wow.
And I'm driving this car. It had a lot of miles, but I pulled up on this car like, this is a $7,000-$10,000 car.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the girl comes over. She put insurance on it, and we got her legal, and Emma. And she took Jamie's dog yesterday, and she couldn't believe it.
Mm.
Wow. You know, we've made a commitment that if the girls go and do the right thing for a year and can really prove that they're sober, doing the right thing for a year, they got their kids back in their life, we're going to stand in the gap as a nonprofit, Families Recover, because families need to recover.
Yeah, you got
to
come around.
Kids need to recover. Yeah. We don't have... That Brightline that's getting $1 billion, they lost $500 million last year. We don't have public transportation on the Treasure Coast. So how do my girls that go to Oxford House that are scattered around the county get a job?
Yeah.
Some of them take 3 buses in the morning to get to their job. So it's been really put on my heart. And like when you offered up that car from Carol, what a blessing.
Mm.
And I'm thinking to myself, I'm listening out in the truck about the vice mayor talking about all this money. How many cars could I give away at $100,000 a year?
Wow. Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's a lot of $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 cars out there that are worthy.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of teachers that are living in their cars. Who knows what those cars look like? I mean, it's really on my heart since Jennifer to really dig deep to get these women back with their kids.
That's
and not
awesome.
Just women. There's
That's
single awesome. Guys out yeah, there. Also. Yeah, I there mean, are. It goes both there ways.
Are. There are.
So, you know, what a blessing to walk Jamie in the New Horizons yesterday. She's like a daughter to me, and she kept on. I just stopped her. I prayed with her, and I said, Jamie, you could be dead.
Yeah, right. Mm. Right.
And then, you know, there's something I don't talk about a lot about. We turn those phone numbers of the dealers over to the local authorities.
Yeah.
Because if you're selling drugs and I find out about it, I have no problem giving you up.
Yeah.
It's killing people. 325 yesterday.
Wow.
325 a day to drug overdose in the United States of America, and it doesn't even make the liberal news.
Okay, so how can people, they can go to...
www.familiesrecover.org.
Or call?
772-285-5828. You know, I love this radio station. I got people listening down in Fort Lauderdale today because they're like, this thing goes that far?
Yeah.
Let's test it today. I'm going to be listening to my big mouth on the radio today.
That's right. You know, John, we have people that call us or send us emails and say, hey, I've got this, I've got that. And when that came in, that email, as I recall, did not specifically give direction to it. It's just I have a car. I'd like to make it available to the station. And I'll tell you that my first thought was, because we have expenses here too.
Sure.
And I knew she'd put some money into the car. She said that it was in good shape. We can put a car out front and sell it.
And we can pay our bills. Yeah.
But you know what? The Holy Spirit, you know, some people may not listen as well as maybe God would like us all to. But I really sense God was saying, you got to call John. You got to call John because there's a more important need than that. And you know the other side of that, and I already mentioned it once today, but we have just received the check from an estate, from the Ruth Moore estate. If your family, you know them, please know how much it is a blessing to us. But the Ruth Moore estate, she left $30,000 to WCNO.
Wow.
Now, that became a part of our last fundraiser.
Sure.
And so it wasn't like extra money, but it was a major part of that fundraiser,
sure.
$225,000. And so when the car came in, and, you know, it's in the email, it's real easy to say, together we can.